Hey, I'm Bob Runkle, and for as long as I can remember, I've loved pop culture. Despite the challenges I've faced in my life, pop culture has always been there for me. I love talking to people and being a platform for others to share their thoughts, stories. Because if there's one thing I never get tired of, it's seeing driven, talented, and inspiring individuals follow their dreams, no matter what obstacles are in their way. And I know a thing or two about that. Welcome to the DJ Bob Show. I'm DJ Bob. Roll it. Talking about children's music, the environment, Jimmy Neutron, and so much more, with the incredible Debbie Derryberry promoting her brand new release, Gotta Go Green. We talk with her about her new release, the impact of Jimmy Neutron, her work in Free Willy, and so much more. This is a wonderful chat with a wonderful human being, great energy. It was just a good time. And I hope you all enjoy it. So, Debbie, I'm so thrilled to have you here and to talk about your latest work. But before we begin, would you kind of give a little bit of an elevator pitch of who you are and what you've done over the years?
Absolutely, Bob. Thank you for having me on your podcast. Always lovely to chat with you. I am an actress, mostly voiceover. People know me for being the voice of Jimmy Neutron and also in Monster High as Draculaura. And I've also, I've done so many cartoons over the last 30 years, from way back in the 90s, Addams Family is Wednesday. Even before that, it's Tinkerbell and Peter Pan and the Pirates and Zatch Bell, Care Bears, Sailor Moon as Diana the Cat. I was in a lot of the Pixar movies as additional voices. I'm Alien, the Toy Story. And I have three new video games that just came out. Well, two big ones, Grand Blue as Magliel, and then Infinite Wealth, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth as Gachapin, which is like dropping Elmo into an epic video game.
That's awesome.
And I have a lot of projects I'm helping people pitch, but I've done a lot of animation over the years. I've also written a lot of kids' songs and albums. People know me mostly for my cartoon voices, and I have, like, 1.2 million TikTok subscribers who love to hear about all my animation projects. F is for Family was another big one on Netflix with Bill Burr. I need to stop talking because I could go on for an hour about old projects, but people can check my IMDb.
Yeah, they can. And it's never ending.
It is long, right?
And we'll talk a bit about specific projects. But first, I wanted to talk to you about the children's media landscape and your latest release, Gotta Go Green. Now, this was inspired, some of these songs were inspired by real life experiences with your son, watching him grow up and teaching him about the environment. So tell me about this album.
Well, these songs go back, two of them go back to, I think, 2008 or 2010. I wrote I'm a Great Recycler when I was, every week we'd collect our bottles and cans, and my son and I would drive them down, and I would turn them in for money. I'd give him the money and he'd put it in his little piggy bank or Buddha bank. And every month or so, we took them down, and hopefully I instilled in him how important it was not to create large amounts of waste. We also had a compost bin and a pig, and he learned what does and does not go in the compost bin. I also have been a supporter of the Orangutan Foundations by Ruti Gildikasas and Gary Shapiro. Both have foundations that support the plight of the orangutan. When people buy palm oil, it's because they burn down orangutans' trees, basically, to get palm oil. So orangutans are becoming, they're going to be extinct if we can't save the rainforests. So I have a song on this album about orangutan. But because it's children, I don't go into lurid details, but make them aware of it. So I think bringing awareness to our children through hands-on or through music forces a question, or enlightens them, or it sparks something in them that they say...
It starts a conversation.
There you go. It starts a conversation. And that's what I want to do. And I believe this album is doing that. And I've added to those songs, Oodle the Orangutan, and I'm a Great Recycler. I've added 7 other ecologically pertinent songs.
And something that I really gravitated towards with all of your children's music is that one song doesn't sound like the next or the one before. The genres are so diverse, and you're never going to get the same song twice. What is your kind of game plan as far as diversifying the genres and making sure that you kind of get a balanced mix?
Thank you for saying that, because I, you know, you hear an artist and you're like, oh, that's that person. And of course, people are going to hear my voice and they're going to say, that's Debbie. But I do enjoy all kinds of rhythms and beats and music. What I enjoy most, Bob, are harmonies. So yeah. You'll notice there's always a common thread of harmonies, sometimes more than others. But I have a 3 or 4 different producers on this album, and each of them brings something to the song. If I was sitting there playing you the song on my guitar, you would definitely say these songs sound fairly similar. But when I produce them, I do try to make them sound a bit different. You know, some can come from reggae, some a little bit more electronic, some more ballady.
You've got a lot of you, and the thing that struck me about the first song in itself, it's like a top 40 pop song, and it's so fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, the thing is about kids, Bob, if they don't like it,
they'll tell you.
They will tell you. They'll get up and leave. I wanted something that was bouncy, that reeled you in, that was simple, repetitive. Some people might say repetition is not a great thing, but I believe in children's music, it is a good thing. I mean, even in grown-up songs, I mean, Beatles, Let It Be. How many times do they say that, right? So repetition is not a bad thing when you're talking about kids' music. I mean, Wheels on the Bus, Baby Shark, those are all fairly successful songs with some repetition. I say that because Gotta Go Green, this first song that you're speaking of that's top 40, kind of bouncy.
We'll play it at the end of this, but it's so fun.
But I have so much fun listening to these songs and making the songs, and it just brings me so much joy.
When I was listening to that song, I thought, wow, it must have been so fun to record those gang vocals where
it's all me.
I love that. That's so fun.
It's like when you look at the tracks on this song, it looks like a game of Tetris. There are so many tracks and so many different harmonies in there. It's loads of fun.
And I'm an audio editor, so I know what that would probably look like.
Yeah. For each little section, I'll have like, I don't know, I'll have 4 or 5 harmonies, and then, you know, maybe 3 or 4 stack deep.
So when you jumped into children's music, this isn't your first endeavor within it. What surprised you most about the genre and the community surrounding it? And what was the biggest learning curve for you? What kind of did you have to learn to do to succeed in it?
I think I was just lucky that kids' music was there because I tried to do grown-up music and country music, and I have made that. And I do have a couple grown-up albums, but I will say kids' music just, it comes to me easier. It's a lot more fun for me. My learning curve in it is kind of keeping up with the current music that's out there. Like if you listen to any of the kids' radio stations, it's not all little bouncy 1, 2, 3, 4 songs. Although I don't mind bouncy 1, 2, 3, 4 songs. So I guess it depends to whom you're pitching this music and where you want the music placed. My other three albums, I found success in them. Because they got radio play and really good reviews, and the children's magazines and publications that reviewed them all really liked my music. When I was, I don't know, I suppose before I started doing this back in the 90s, one of my relatives said, "Debbie, why don't you record some of your kid songs?" Because I had written "My Dog's My Buddy," which is on one of my earlier albums, when I was 9 years old. And it's still a great song. And there's a music video of it on my children's website, on my new Debbie Derryberry Kids YouTube channel, so you can see that. But that inspired me to go ahead and make my first album. And that's what I did. I had some other kids' songs I had written, and I got some public domain songs, and I put together my first children's CD, and it was so easy. You know, Bob, when something is not a struggle, when it comes so easy, it just makes you want to move forward with it because everything flowed.
And it makes you want to do more. Like, once you do the first one, you're like, oh, I can, I don't know why I didn't do this before.
Yeah. And now that I'm on my fourth kids CD, kids album, I don't want to say CD, I should say coasters, right? People don't even have CD players anymore.
I do, because yeah.
But now that I'm on my fourth one and that I've been doing cartoon voices in children's programming, not only children's programming, some adult, but mostly kids programming for 30 years, I'm finding it's all kind of coming together. Like I'm making these animated music videos that I'm directing, that I know what I want them to look like and sound like. And it's my music that the videos are too. And I just finally feel like it's all coming together. And I'm so happy these days because it's just, it's a very fulfilling effort.
I can totally relate to that in the sense that when we started this show, I wanted to be a top 40 talking fast radio jock, and I realized I couldn't commit to the schedule. So a couple industry professionals told me, you know, because it's physically demanding for your disability, maybe you should start doing a podcast so it's on your own timetable. You could do whatever you want. You edit. But when I started releasing them and they gained traction, it was like, why did I stick to the norm? And why did I not do this before?
But here's the thing about that, and here's kudos to you, Bob, because somebody had the wherewithal to say to you, why don't you do this? And you didn't have to, did you? But you did. You listened. You listened to what spoke to you and you thought, well, that makes sense. Let me try that. And then it was like butter.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about this. It's like butter.
And that's the common thread that we have. Like, I'm a fan of your work. But the thing that bonds us together is that we're both creative people with real struggles and real aspirations to put out good work. So what's the most rewarding part for you about being a creative person? And honestly, what's the most difficult part?
Okay. The most rewarding part, I suppose, is having the finished product that people appreciate. And of course, being able to make a living at it, to make money doing what you love. I can't say I've ever made a living doing music yet, but I haven't quit yet because that's what I love to do.
Yeah.
Voiceover, I have been able to make a living for the last 30 years, which has been, you know, just wonderful for me, being able to make a living doing what I love to do creatively. The hardest part, I think, is the downtime, is when nothing is happening while you're waiting, when your cupboards are bare, like your brain cupboards, I mean. Like sometimes I have creative bursts and then it's dry for a little bit. And I have, the hardest part is when I reach the bottom of my to-do list and I'm like twiddling my thumbs going, what's next?
What do I do now?
Yeah.
I don't enjoy being alone and I don't enjoy doing nothing. I wish I did. I think I would probably enjoy those downtimes more. I know I've heard other actors say, enjoy your downtime because it's not always like that. Sometimes it's so busy, you're insanely crazy.
And that is something, I feel like that is something to do with your personality, because you're always go, 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 and you're always up. And, well, at least to me. And
you know, I am. I'm just lucky that way. Like, I wake up chipper, and I go, go, go.
And when you're not doing something, you're like, okay, I have to do something now.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I have 20 minutes before I go on Zoom with Bob. I'll go pull some weeds. I'll go walk the dog. I know. I'll do the dishes. What should I do? Oh, wait, I have an email to return. I know. There's just always something.
I love that. So if you don't mind, I'd love to share a couple of personal stories connected to your work for me. So my fiance and I, we just got engaged this past June.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And she has had a lifelong love of orca whales. And the movie that catapulted her into researching for the animal and being an advocate was Free Willy. And that's like her favorite movie of all time. So what was it like working with Keiko?
Well, let me preface anything I say here, Bob, by saying that if the job were offered to me again, I would never do that.
Okay.
But back then, I was very young and was not aware of the plight. I was not aware of how horrid the conditions were and that these are mammals with feelings and support groups and communities. And it is wrong, absolutely wrong, to have mammals or any animals in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to preface with that. Now, as far as the job went, I have always been fascinated being under the water. I got my scuba diving certificate in 1983, if you can believe that. And I always wanted to work at SeaWorld, but I have limitations, as do you. I'm 4'10" and they didn't hire short, squatty little people then. They hired these long, leggy, beautiful mermaid people then. So I didn't get a job at SeaWorld, but I always wanted to work with animals under the water. And I've always done animal rescue, cats and dogs, just hands-on, trapping feral colonies, finding homes for dogs with no homes. And so when I found out they were looking for someone to body double the boy who was the same size as a 12-year-old boy, I said, well, I'll try. And I went in, and apparently I was the only
I, yeah.
Little person they could find who was the same size as a 12-year-old boy who was an actress who was ready to go right then. So they flew me down to Mexico City the next day. And I spent 7 weeks on that whale's back and under the water, making friends with him and hanging out and being his toy, basically.
Yeah. A couple months ago, my fiance and I actually spoke with Jason about his experiences working on the film.
Oh, what is Jason up to these days?
He is producing and writing, and he's back in the industry, which is great.
That's great.
And I'll have to email you that episode so you can
check please it out. Do. Well, he's grown. I haven't. I'm still the size of a 12-year-old boy. Many of my jobs have been on camera being the body for a 12-year-old boy. But as far as Free Willy goes, I wish your fiancé had been there with me because she would have loved it, being able to pet him and feed him and talk to him and swim underwater with him and be part of his life for the very short 7 weeks.
She has a pretty active Facebook following. She got over 2,200 people, and she advocates for these beings. It's a great and before we started dating, I just knew Free Willy as a movie that I watched as a kid, but now it's like I get it. Like
it started the movement.
I get it. And I just had to bring that up for me and her, because I know that she would love that. She wanted to come today, but she couldn't make it, unfortunately. But the thing, we all have television shows that impacted us as children more than any other. And for me, one of the big ones that really I gravitate towards since the beginning. I saw the movie in theaters, and that's Jimmy Neutron.
Yeah, that was, I think, probably my most popular cartoon. And we started out doing the feature. Yeah. And then it moved to cartoon and everything else. It was, for such a short-lived cartoon, it was incredibly popular.
I love it so much. I mean, I saw the first film in theaters, and then my mom and my dad and I, we all sat on the couch and watched the premiere together of the series. Aww. And I never missed one.
Is that right?
It's very important.
Well, I'm fingers crossed that I hope that there'll be new life breathed into it. I keep hoping, haven't heard anything yet. But I hope whether they're...
And your cast was amazing. Can we talk about your cast?
Absolutely. I mean, didn't we have the best cast ever? It was such chemistry.
With Rob and Jeff and Mark and...
Yep, Carolyn Lawrence. And
yeah.
It was just Jeff Garcia. So much fun. Yeah. Every episode, I was just a straight man. I just went in and did Jimmy, and they went to town and went crazy. They were so funny.
It's funny. Mark is one of my dearest friends. And
yeah.
On Father's Day, I text him Happy Father's Day with a picture of Hugh. And he's like, I expect that from you every year now, and I haven't stopped. So,
oh, he's a dear, dear man.
It's so what drew you to that role? Because it was so... The show is so quirky in nature. But what drew you to it?
You know, when you ask that question, you make it sound like I had, like I wanted to do it and had a choice. The life of an actor is they send me auditions. I go to the audition and I hope I book it. And that's what happened. And it was a little boy's voice. And I was very uncomfortable doing little boy's voices because I had been doing little girl voices my whole career. And so I knew I couldn't compete with all the girls who had all that texture in their voice. So I did my voice with what I thought sounded like a little boy. And the director liked that one and booked me. And it wasn't a feature. It was these little bitty interstitials.
Yeah, they were interstitials. I love those too.
So as our characters developed, And as the scripts developed, the interaction of the characters and the scripts became more and more silly and hilarious and well-written. And I think that the writers loved that, and the director loved it, and the animators were having so much fun with it. I think everybody, it just clicked, it just worked.
So what is the one line that people always tell you to repeat? Or
oh, you know what it is. It's one of two. It's either think, brainwashed, or I've got a big brain. That one.
Which one's yours? That's interesting. I thought it would have been Got a Blast.
Oh, that one too. Sorry, did I miss that? Got a Blast. Yep, that's the other one.
What people don't talk about regarding that show is the amazing list of guest stars that you had. I mean, Phyllis Diller, I believe, was
Mel Brooks
was in a Christmas special. Yep. Like, it's so good.
Yep. Amazing list of celebrities came on. Tim Curry.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was like getting to have our own little fan club every day. We'd go to work like, who's here today? it was pretty exciting.
So what is your favorite episode?
Oh,
do you have
gosh.
One?
I think my favorite's probably the ones where Jimmy and Cindy get stranded on the island.
Oh yeah.
I really like that one. I like them all. I mean, it's hard to pick. It's like picking your favorite kid. They're all great.
I'm partial to just any one that where Jimmy was showcasing his emotions. Because, like, he on the surface, he acted all together. But when he kind of freaked out and got mad, it kind of just humanized him. Which a lot of shows aren't able to do.
Well put, yeah. That did happen a lot in the scripts, where he'd be the one kid in school that, you know, he tries so hard, and then it kind of all falls apart, and then he's left feeling like a failure, or unliked, or alone.
Yeah, or not. One of the things that happened early on in the series, or even in the film, is not feeling included. I mean, all his friends were going to Retroville except for him, Sheen, and Carl. So they wanted to feel like one of the group.
Yeah. They had to figure out a way to get there, which I can't say that disobeying your parents is a good thing, but they figured it out.
Yeah. But you know, it's all about inclusivity and making sure that kids realize that not everything, that's another thing about the show too, not everything had a bow ending.
Right? Yeah, there was some reality there, where it's not always, you know, happy and fun and perfect at the end.
But I love that show so much, and thank you.
You're welcome. And I want to just kind of twist it a little bit and say that now, since I've been in animation for so long and done music for so long, I'm now making an effort to write music for cartoons, which kind of seems like, why haven't I been doing that before?
No, that's what we're talking about. Like, you kind of surprise yourself in that way.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. And hopefully those are my dogs barking. Hopefully some of these songs will also be used in some green projects, because there is such an effort, what with climate change, in bringing awareness to what kids and what people can do. And, you know, my song, Electric Car. Boy, I'm hoping
I love that.
One of the car companies picks that up. recycle my electronic car. I think song, that's my electronic song. I think that would be amazing for some facet of recycling for a company. And then Earth Day is coming up, and Earth Day is my birthday. I don't know if you got a chance to hear Earth Day's birthday.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, then we...
But I have music videos, animated music videos for all of these. Four of them are on the YouTube channel now, but the rest are going to drop March 6th when the album drops. So I'm hoping that anybody who hears this interview will bop on over to Debbie Derryberry Kids on YouTube. Not Debbie Derryberry Official, but Debbie Derryberry Kids. It has like a little logo of a little cartoon version of me. And hopefully they'll subscribe there, and they'll get to have a lot of kids-friendly, kids-safe, educational videos.
Well, I just have to tell you, when I got the press release to do this, and when I was offered it, it made me so happy to be able to just spread this message. Because what the other thing that I loved about this release so much is that you were teaching a lesson, but it wasn't preachy.
Thank you. There's no point in preaching to the kids. No point at all. So you just put the subjects out there, give them a couple tangible things they can do, but mostly make it good, fun music with the subject matter being timely.
I love it. And where can people hear this? Where can people check it out?
Well, it'll release, as I said, March 6th, after which it will be on all the digital streaming platforms, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, everything. It'll also be on my website for downloading. And they can watch the music videos on Debbie Derryberry Kids, the YouTube channel Debbie Derryberry Kids. So it will be everywhere. And hopefully they'll hear it in some great advertising commercial car ad or some green campaign somewhere.
We got to make it happen.
Yes, so, please.
One of the another thing that you don't really get asked about a lot on a deeper level, and my dear friend, my newly found friend, Lisa O'Brien, worked with you on these. Can we talk about Clay for a little bit?
Yes, we can talk about Clay. It's funny. I can't tip the hat too much, but I have an up and coming TikTok video that has Clay in it. Clay was the most adorable little guy, and Lisa O'Brien and Miriam Blinkoff were just the best producers ever.
They're amazing.
Yeah, that was great. We ought to bring Clay back.
Well, maybe if we petition, maybe if we get enough names out there, yeah. I loved it because it was so, he could do anything.
The Kyoto brothers, who also did like, is it Marcel the Snail? Marcel the Snail?
Oh.
I say that correct. But the Claymation guys, the Kyoto brothers, did Clay, and they actually gave me a Clay. I have him wrapped in plastic wrap, so he's still soft, but I have one of the original Clays here in my office.
That is so cool.
I know. So it'll be on one of my, probably not the next, but one of my TikToks coming up shortly.
So I said this earlier, that this podcast is essentially a conversation, and I just want to open it up to you, because we've talked before, but this is the first time I feel like we're really, having a full-on conversation. So do you have any questions for me about my work or what I do, or just about anything you'd like to know?
Well, how often do you record?
I try to record at least like one a week and then just space them out. Because
I think people don't realize how like when you listen to something, you go, oh, that's nice. But they don't realize how much work it takes to get from inception to completion of something like a podcast.
Yeah. And honestly, there was a time where a couple months ago, where I had creative burnout.
Did you?
And
And I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is physically taxing. And then I realized, wait a second. I'm not doing this for anyone else but me. I can put it on my own schedule, on my own timetable. It doesn't matter when it comes out. And yeah. It's like, knowing your limits is an important part of about being a creative person as well.
And I think we all have our individual limits, you know? I mean, I'm not 20 anymore. I can't do physically the things I used to do when I was. And I think we all have to just kind of honor that. I was trying to do some pull-ups the other day with my assist band, and I went ahead and ripped my rotator cuff muscle. And now I have to pay the price and not do those anymore for a while. But we all have these, you know, these limitations that, I have stools all over the house because I'm 4'10" and I can't reach most everything. And I guess we just learn to live with it and do what we can do when we can do it, and have to listen to our bodies and go, all right, time for a nap, time to rest. Or maybe it's time for 2 weeks worth of rest, or maybe a month.
Yeah. And it got to the point where it's like, I would be doing so much that I would act okay on the surface. And then people would say, you're not yourself. What are you doing? Like, what? Like, calm down. It's okay. You're not doing this for anybody. You're your own person, and you dictate what you have to do. I was so focused on the final product that I wasn't focused on myself.
The journey.
Yeah.
And I certainly have to remember that it's all about the journey. It's all about every moment to moment. I'm so glad you reminded me of that right now, because today hasn't been my most favorite day until right now. But the fact that we're here doing what we love to do is a gift.
Here's another full circle moment. So when I was a freshman in high school, there was this really hilarious guy that used to do the morning announcements, and it turns out that you worked with him, my friend Ricky Downs.
Oh, yeah. I love Ricky Downs. I've been kind of teaching him, mentoring him for many years now. Isn't he a great guy? Yeah.
But, like, yeah, we crossed paths in high school, and I knew he was destined for stuff even then.
Yeah, but he really is a go-getter, and he went to Emerson, and he's been sticking to it, and I admire persistence more than anything. I really admire persistence.
But it's crazy how many connections you and I have.
I know, right? From Mark DiCarlo to Elizabeth and Ricky and everybody else you've interviewed. Yeah, small world.
So, what do you hope people take away from not only this release, but what do you hope people take away from your body of work? Because you really try to spread positivity and curiosity and imagination as much as you can. Do you try to kind of bake that within everything you do? Because it sure seems like that.
I do, and I hope people take away from my kids' music and this album in particular that they enjoy it, but I really want it played for children. I want the grandparents to play it for their grandkids. I want parents to play it for their children. I want teachers to play it for their classes. I want radio stations to blast it to all the kids that will listen. I want all this music out there for people to dance along with and know the words and enjoy it and hear the message and have an impact.
Well, I can say this, that you've impacted me today, and I've enjoyed our conversation so much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it too, Bob. Thank you for letting me be on your podcast again. And I just wish you all the best, and let's both stay focused and happy and enjoy our journey.
Gotta go green, 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 gotta go go green.
Clean it on up.
Gotta go green, 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 gotta go go green.
Let's clean the world up. Let's clean the world up. Let's clean the world up. Clean it. Let's clean the world up. Let's clean the world up. Clean it up. Let's clean the world up. Let's clean the world up. Let's clean the world up. Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Let's make it better and fix the weather. Let's clean the world up. Clean it up.
Yeah. Gotta go green. 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 Gotta go go green. Green, gotta go 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 go green.
Let's clean the world up. Let's clean the world up. Let's clean the world up. Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Here's the solution. Stop the pollution. Let's clean the world up.
Clean it up.
Let's do this. Let's clean the world up. Let's clean the world up. Let's clean the world up.
Clean it up. Go green, go green.
Be super clever. Let's work together. Let's clean the world up. Clean it up.
Woo! Gotta go green. 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 Gotta go go green.
Woo!
Gotta go green. 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 Gotta go green.
Let's do this.
Hey yeah. Hey yeah. Hey yeah. Yeah yeah. Gotta go.
Thanks for hanging out with us at the DJ Bob Show. If you liked this episode, drop us a line at djbobrunkel@gmail.com. That's djbobrunkel@gmail.com. Let us know what you liked most about this episode and what other guests we should have on the DJ Bob Show. Thanks so much again for hanging out with us. This is Nate Beagle, your humble announcer.